Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Tzadi Tes. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Ches Amid Beis. We are four lines from the end of the page at Bishlam Alamadi Amar Mizrach U Mariv. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, as well as by Dr. David and Sandra Bellison in memory of Sandra's mother, Yenta Bas Shalom, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow, the Neshama Shavnalia. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So, first thing we're going to talk about today is how did all of these extra shulchanos that Shlomo HaMelech had built fit into their designated space in the Beis HaMikdash? If you had 10 extra shulchanos to fit, that's a lot of floor space, and how do they fit exactly? The shulchan is betzafon, where exactly did they all fit? Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether all of these shulchanos and menoros were actually used, or if they were just there more for decorative purposes. Then the Gemara is going to have this a source for and an example of Malin Bekodesh Velo Maridin. The Gemara is going to tell us three different things that Reish Lakish taught about Talmud Torah. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to go through the arranging of the Lechem HaPanim as well as the distribution of the Lechem HaPanim to the Kohanim. And the Gemara is going to use the Lechem HaPanim, the word Tamid that it says by Lechem HaPanim as a springboard to discuss the word Tamid when it comes to Talmud Torah. So we're going to have a lot of discussion about the minimum obligation of Talmud Torah and one's attitude toward Talmud Torah. So a lot of Talmud Torah related things. So let's begin again on four lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Tzadi Chesam Beis. So we had 11 shulchanos that had to fit in the Heichal, the one of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the 10 additional ones that Shlomo HaMelech had. So the Gemara is about to discuss where did all these shulchanos fit. It is interesting, the Gemara never discusses where all of the menoros fit. The Malbim writes that the width of each menorah with the 7 neros was less than 8 tfachim. So if you hold that they were arranged from Mizrach to Marav, so all of them could have been in a single row and wouldn't be a problem because they're not so big. And if you hold that they went from north to south, so then you would have to put the menorahs in two separate rows, as the Gemara is going to ultimately conclude about the shulchanos as well. But the Gemara never has that discussion. So says Gemara Bishlam Nadir Mizrach Marav, I understand very well if these 10 shulchanos ran from east to west. So Haynu Dahavu Sivi Asar Be'esrim. So you have 20 amos of space, and 10 of these menorahs, 10 of these shulchanos rather, and each of them are 2 amos. You line them up one next to the other, so it makes sense that they're going to fit. But if you hold that they went north-south, so north-south, the entire width of the room was 20 amos. So asar be'esrim echav yasvi, meaning if you're dealing with a room that's 40 amos long, and you're just supposed to be on one side of the room, so you have 20 amos worth of shulchanos, okay, maybe we'll go a couple of inches over the line. Okay, it's not the end of the world. But if you have exactly 20 amos of space from north to south, so how are you going to fit 20 amos worth of shulchanos? There's got to be a mashu. There's got to be some space in between them. That's not going to be, that's never going to be able to fit mamish mitzumtzum. Visuin, and not only that, kohanim echav aili. If it went north to south, it meant a block to the entire room. So how did the kohanim ever get to the other side? Now, they didn't have to go that often to the other side, you would think, but certainly the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim had to go to the other side, and every time they had to do the arrangement of the Lechem HaPanim, they had to go to the other side, because we're going to see in the Mishnah on Amud Beis that in order to arrange Lechem HaPanim, you needed a few Kohanim on each side of the Shulchan. They would push the new ones on and take the old ones off. V'suin, not only that, Matzinu Chamisha Shulchanos Bedarum. It would also turn out that 5 of the Shulchanos are on the southern side, and you're not supposed to have that, because the Pasuk says in Chumash, V'ashulchan titin al tzel atzafan, that the shulchan is supposed to be in the north. V'su, shulchan d'moshe hechamanuchle. Plus, if you're only accounting for 10 shulchanos fitting in a 20 amos space, there were 11 shulchanos. There were not 10 shulchanos, because you have the shulchan of Moshe plus the 10 of Shlomo HaMelech. V'litamech, says Gemara, well, wait a second, you made it sound like if it goes east to west, everything is just fine. L'man yom mizrach marv nami shulchan d'moshe hechamanuchle. If you hold that they go east to west, the shulchan of Moshe is also out of space, meaning it needs needs to be in the 20 Western Amos of the Heichal, and where how's that going to fit if you have 11 Shulchanos lined up one right after the other? That takes up 22 Amos, so one of these Shulchanos is going to be way over the line of as far as where it's going to go. If it's going to go an inch over the line, fine, but this is going way over the line. So Elami Savrin Chadarava says, well, you think all these Shulchanos were just lined up in one row? Nah, Trey Dari Ninu. There were two rows of Shulchanos, two rows of five each, and the one, and Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan was in between those two rows. So the length of each of the rows of Shulchanos was 10 Amos, and that works out very well. Whether you assume it was Mizrach Amarav or whether you assume it was Tzafon V'Darum, because 10 Amos, if they only took up 10 Amos, that gives you plenty of space. So says Mar, well, let's cheshmin if it gives you plenty of space. Bishlam lemad yamr tzafon v'darom shapir. If they ran 10 amos from tzafon v'darom, so I understand very well that you have plenty of space, because you have one of them lined up by the northernmost wall, and it took up the entire northernmost side of the heichal. 10 amos, the 10 northern amos of the heichal. So that's and as far as the length of the Heichal, they only took up 10.5 Amos. There were the 10.5 westernmost Amos of the Heichal that were closest to the Amatraxin. El Madyam Mizrach Umarav. But if you held that they ran lengthwise Mizrach Umarav, so they started at the western wall of the Heichal, which is the Amatraxin, and then they went all the way back east toward the across from the northern wall. So you don't have the two rows of the Shulchanos are not going to work out, because michti Shulchan kama mashuch min hakosel. How far does the Shulchan have to be from the northernmost wall? Well, you need shtei amos mechza. You need to leave 2.5 amos of space, because the two kohanim who were going to be mesadr the ma'arachos of the lechem apanim had to be able to get into that space, and for two kohanim to fit there, for two people to fit there, you need 2.5 amos. That was yesterday's daf. We learned yesterday's daf, we were describing carrying the aron, that 1.5 amos with the bottom of the aron, that you couldn't fit two levium in a space, and levium are the same size as kohanim. So you weren't going to fit two levium between the badei aron in 1.5 amos. So it takes 2.5 amos. The 2.5 amos length of the aron is where the two levium stood. In the Mishmar Skuna, he points out, you don't see from that Gemara that you need 2.5 amos in order to fit two people. You just see that 1.5 isn't enough. It happened to be the other dimension of the Aron was 2.5 amos. But maybe you need 2 amos, meaning, after all, the Gemara Masech HaSukkah tells us that Gavra Ba'amsa Yasif, that a person takes up 1 amos. So if they're shoulder to shoulder, maybe you only need, maybe they needed some elbow room as they were moving the lechem on and off of the shulchan, and that's why we're assuming 2.5 amos. But be that as it may, the Gemara assumes that it's 2.5 amos that are necessary. So you have 2.5 amos of space from the wall to the first shulchan. Vamedidei. Then you have the width of the shulchan of the first row of shulchanos, which is one more ama. Vishtei amos mechza de beni beni. Then you have another 2.5 amos in between the first row of shulchanos and the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'ama, and then you have the one ama that Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan took up, then Mishtei Amos Mechza de Beni Beni, another 2.5 Amos between Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan and the other row of Shulchanos, the Amma Didei, and then you have the Amma that the actual second row of Shulchanos took up, Ishtachach Dekachil Shulchan, Palga de Amsa Bidorom. So it turns out, if you do all of the math, it's 2.5 plus 1 plus 2.5 plus 1 plus 2.5, that plus 1. So the plus another 2.5, it's going to turn out that you're 11 amos. How does it work out? That you're 2.5 plus 1 is 3.5 plus 2. How's it go? 2.5 amos of space plus the one amma of shulchan is 3.5 plus 2.5 amos of space, that gets you to 6, plus another amma of Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan is 7, plus 2.5 amos is 9.5, plus another amma of Shulchan is 10.5. So you're 10.5 amos. 10.5 amos encroaches a half an amma into the other side. So the Shulchanos are all supposed to be in the northern half of the Heichal, but the northern half is only 10 amos. But we just accounted for 10.5 amos. So you have a half amma of a shulchan in the southern of a row of shulchanos in the southern side, but the Torah says a shulchan titin al tzelat safon. So says Gar misavr shulchan to Moshe ba'adayu Abi Yosef. Why do you think that the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu was smack right in between the two rows of shulchanos of Shlomo HaMelech? Lo, demidli leu manachle. It was a little bit removed from the Shulchanos of Shlomo. So Shlomo HaMelech's two rows of Shulchanos were exactly parallel to each other, and Moshe's wasn't in the middle. It was above. It was a little bit extended beyond where they were. So it came out like a tail. It wasn't directly in between them, and therefore in between the two rows of Shlomo HaMelech, you only needed 2.5 amos. And because you only needed people to be able to fit in between them, you didn't need 2.5 plus 1 plus 2.5 so that they could fit in between them and Moshe's, and then in between Moshe's, and then the other side, because there was Moshe Rabbeinu's was not right in between them. So the umatzilu didu porta, and they would be morid the two rows of shulchanos a little bit more toward the east, so that further away from the Kodesh HaKadosh, a little more toward the east, and the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit more toward the west. Ketalmud Yosef v'nei Rabbo, like a Talmud that sits in front of a Rebbe, where the Rebbe sits in the higher spot, and the Talmud's in the lower spot, because the assumption is that Rashi says that the room was on a slant, it was on a little bit of a slant, because it was built on a mountain. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan was a little bit higher, like a Talmud Hayoshev b'fnei Rabbo. Okay, so now says Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Asor Shulchanos Asor Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made these 10 Shulchanos, V'loi Mesadrin Ela Al Shlomoshe, but they didn't actually use the 10 Shulchanos, they would only be Mesadrin Lechem HaPanim on Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, even though clearly there had to be a Nevuah to build these 10 Shulchanos, otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to do it. HaKol B'Ksav Miyav Hashem Alei HaSkil, you can't just add in things into the Beis HaMikdash, but Reb Chaim points out in the stencil that nevertheless, the din of Lechem Al Shulchan was only stated with regard to V'asuli Mikdash, with regard to the mitzvah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there may have been a mitzvah to make these extra 10 shulchanos, but there was no mitzvah to use these extra 10 shulchanos. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, when it talks about Shlomo HaMelech building the Klei HaMikdash, Ves HaShulchan Asher Olav Lechem HaPanim Zahav, singular, one shulchan that had the Lechem HaPanim. So Eser Menoros HaSa Shlomo, Shlomo HaMelech, we said, made 10 additional menoros as well, Lo Yimadlik and El B'Shalosha, but they didn't use the 10 extra menorahs, they only used Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, "Menoras hazahav v'neroseha levar be'erev." Again, singular. So you see that they only used one menorah to actually light. The Gemara is never going to explain how Reb Elazar ben Shammu, who disagrees and holds that they would use all of them, is going to teach this pasuk. But lechora, it's pashut that the shulchan of Moshe and the menorah of Moshe was the ikker, and the rest were tafel. So that would probably be the way you'd explain this pasuk, that there is one that is primary, and that's why we speak in singular, even if they did use the others. So let's see that second opinion. Reb Elazar ben Shammua Omer al kulam ayu misadrin. They used all the shulchanos to put the lechem upon him. But the way Rashi learns it, not all at the same time. They didn't make 12 times 11 lechem apanims every week. They made 12 lechem apanims every week, and that's it. And they would take turns, sometimes on this shulchan, sometimes on that shulchan. However, in Yalkut Shimoni, it says, "V'afal pisha asa Shlomo esr shulchanos loyem esad lechem apanim tchila Ella al shel Moshe va'achar kach hayim esadra al kulan. So Yalkut Shimoni sounds like he assumes they did make way more than 12 lechem apanim. But they would first arrange the lechem apanim, the ikar lechem apanim on Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, and then they would arrange it on the other shulchanos. But anyway, Reb Lezer ben Shmuel holds they used all of them. Shneamar, because the pasuk when it describes the binyan amigdash in Shlomo Melch's time, ve'es hashulchanos ve'aleihem lechem apanim. B'lashon Rabbim, that all of these shulchanos had lechem apanim. Ubekulan hayim adikin, and not only that, the 10 menorahs, also they were all used. They were madlik on all of the menorahs. And again, Rashi, the Karanora points out, Rashi will say that, what do you mean they were madlik all the menorahs? Sometimes this one, sometimes that one. That, like he said, by the Shulchan. However, again, in the Yalkut Shimoni, it says, V'yafal pishas ha-shlomo eser menorahs, lo yamavir t'chila ela al shel Moshe, shnemar menorahs es avinir seha, v'achar kach hayamavir kula. That the Yalkut Shimoni again says that they would first light the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu and then they would light all the rest of them. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, "Ves haminoros v'nerosehem leva'aram kamishpat lefnei hadvir zav sagor." So you see that very clearly that it's b'lashon Rabbim. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yimisradin ela al shel Moshe. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says like the Tanakama, no, they only used Moshe Rabbeinu shulchan for the lechem. So what then am I going to do with the pasuk that Reb Lezer ben Shemua brought us his proof? That multiple shulchanos that had lechem apanim. Elu shlosha shulchanos shoy b'mikdash. This is not a reference to the 10 shulchanos of Shlomo. This is a reference to the shulchanos that were used in the process of placing the lechem apanim on the shulchan and removing it from the shulchan. There was a holding table that it went on before it went on the shulchan, and a table that it went on immediately after it came off of the shulchan that we're going to learn about in the Mishnah on the base. Shnayim shayu b'ulam mibifnim. Two of them were on the inner part of the ulam, the pesach habayis, by the pesach of the heichal. Echot shel kesef. One was made out of silver and really marble, we're going to see. Vechot shel zahav, and one was made out of gold. Al shel kesef nosan lechem apanim b'knisaso. On the silver one, they would put the lechem apanim on the way in before they put it on shulchan shel Moshe. Al shel zahav b'yitziaso, and when they took the lechem apanim off of Moshe Rabbeinu shulchan, they would put it on this shulchan shel zahav until after they would burn the bezichei levona that comes with the lechem apanim, because you're not allowed to eat the lechem apanim until they burn the bezichei, until they do the haktaras levona. So they would need somewhere to keep it while they were doing the Akhtaras Alvona. So it stayed on this gold table while they were doing the Akhtaras Alvona. Shemalim b'kodesh v'lo maridin. Anything that's a matter of Kedusha that needs to be changed from one place to the other, we always go up, we never go down. And therefore, on the way in, we put it on a silver table in order to elevate it from there to a gold table. Gold is more valuable than silver, but on the way out, we cannot put it back onto a silver table, because that would be a horada from its kedusha, because the shulchan shel Moshe obviously was gold. The Turi Evan is mesupik and meseches Megillah. When we say malin b'kodesh ve'maridin, what's the ikr? Is it that you're supposed to be malin b'kodesh dafka and you're not allowed to? What about a lateral move? Meaning, can you keep something on the same level? Or do you always have to be going up? Or is it, no, the Ein Maridin is Dafka, but a lateral move is going to be fine. So he says, well, Mimanavshach, if Malin is Dafka, why did Chazal have to say Ein Maridin? L'chor, it's a Kal V'chomer. And if Ein Maridin is Dafka, why do they first have to say Malin? There is no Chiv of Malin if Ein Maridin is really the Dafka. So he says that Ein Maridin is really Dafka, and there's a Havamina why does it have to say Malin? Because one might have had a havamina that you cannot be mishana at all. That when you have a davar shebekedusha, you just have to keep it as is. You're not allowed to mess with it. Even if you think you're improving it, you're doing better. No, you're just not allowed to mess with it. So therefore, Chazal have to say, malin. No, it is mutter to be mishana l'shvach. But if you are being mishana, you have to be very careful that ein maridin. And the ein maridin is really that which is dafka. So that's a turi evan meseches Megillah, not relating to our sugya about the shulchanos, to our example of Malin B'Kodesh Lo Maridin about the Shulchanos. So Min Chaschinuch, Mitzvah Tzadi Zayin, says, L'chora, our sugya gives a very clear raya as far as which one is dafka and which one is lav dafka. Because what does our sugya say? Silver to gold to gold. That's an equal. Gold to gold is equal. So apparently, the only thing that we're really makbid about is ein moridin. We're not so makbid about malin. So that seems to be a pretty strong raya, like that sad in the Turei Evan. So that echad shel zav b'fnim shalav lechem apanim tamin, and then the third shulchan was the shulchan of Moshe, which was the zav one that they had lechem apanim on tamin on constantly. There is a Primagadim raises whether Malam Bekodesh Shei Moridin is a Dinta Rais or a Dinta Rabbanan. The Gemara is about to quote a source that in Moridin, but a source from Psukim, but it might be that it's only an Asmachta. Nevertheless, Primagadim assumes that it is that it's more likely that it's a Dinta Raisa. Uminolan Dein Moridin, where do we learn this din that you're not allowed to be Morid over Shabbat Kedusha from its elevated status? So Amar Rebbe Da Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says when it comes to the Hakamas HaMishkan on the eighth day of the Miluim, Vayakam Moshe HaMishkan Vayitin Es Adonav Vayasam Es Kroshav Vayitin Es Brichav Vayakam Es Amudav. So it started with Vayakam Moshe HaMishkan and it ends with Vayakam Es Amudav, to tell me that you're not supposed to be Morid something from a level of Kedusha, even in the way that you speak about it, and certainly when it comes to how one actually treats it. That's how Rashi Megillah learns. Rashi quotes from the Tosefta that the Makor from Malam Bekodesh, Rashi Megillah quotes from the Tosefta that the Makor from Malam Bekodesh is from the Hakamas HaMishkan, that even though Bezalel was the one that built it, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that erected it because of Malam Bekodesh. And the Makor for Ein Moridin is from the Machtos of Adas Korach that the Gemara is about to quote, that since they were already Huktash to be Makdir Ketoris, they had to be used for some other Kedusha purposes. So apparently we have multiple sources for this concept of Malam Bekodesh Vein Moridin. Pnei Yeshua explains that there are two inyanim of Malam Bekodesh Vein Moridin. Number one is about a chefetz that itself is Kodesh, and that you're not allowed to diminish its own status and its own Kedusha. And the other is how you treat it or who treats it, the things that are around that object. For example, by the Lechem Apanim, the fact that it went from a silver table to a gold table to a gold table, the lechem is still the lechem. Nothing changes about the lechem. It's about the things around the lechem. Whereas when it comes to the shovels of the Adas Korach, they themselves had to be used for another item of Kedusha and not to be changed for something that's a lesser item of Kedusha. And perhaps that's why we need, says the Pnei Yeshua, two different sources for Malam Bekodesh Vein Moridin. Uminalan de Malin, says the Gemara, how do I know that your Mishana Dovership of Kedusha to elevate it? So Rabbi Yachav Bar Yaakov Domer Krak, because the pasuk says when it comes to the shovels that had the ketores that the Adas Korach used, as ismachtos achatoim ha'ele b'nafshosam va'asu osam rikuei pachim tzipoi lamizbeach ki yakrivim l'fnei Hashem va'yikdashu ve'yilaos l'fnei Yisrael, that they were supposed to take those shovels and use them as a tzipoi on the mizbeach hanachoshes, because they were niskadish at the time that they were used for Ketores. So it was, and it will also serve as a reminder to the Jewish people what happens when you're cholik on the kahuna. Look what happened to these people. So it's a reminder of what happened to them. But they had to use them for an elevated purpose. Initially they were used as shovels to be makdir Ketores on the mizbeach. Now they are the mizbeach. They are actually become part of the mizbeach. Another drasha that relates to Malam Bekodesh Vein Moridin, when it comes to the second set of luchos, the pasuk says asher shibarta v'samtam ba'aron. So Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef taught, since the pasuk says asher shibarta, and that phrase is extra, melamed sheluchos v'shivrei luchos menachem ba'aron. That tells us that both the luchos and the shivrei luchos were placed in the aron. Mikan the Talmud Chacham shach Talmud machmason so sheinoga bo minag bizayon. And from there we see that if you have a Talmud Chacham who forgot his learning, not through his own fault, through age or whatever, forget that naturally happens to a person, you cannot be knowing minag bizayon on such a Talmud Chacham. There's a tshuva in the Nodibiyud, Madurakama, or Chaim, where in Siman Tes, where the Nadi Yehuda was asked about Sifrei Torah that are puzzle, that you're never going to be able to fix, do you keep them in Aron Kodesh? Because Aron Kodesh L'chor is built for Kasher Sifrei Torah. So the Shaul says a raya that you're allowed to do it is that the Shivrei Luchos were also put in the Aron, even though L'chor the Aron was his Kadesh Tafka for the Luchos, not for the Shivrei Luchos. So you see that even though that they still have Kedusha, even after they're broken. And then the Shaul says, you know, maybe it's not such a good raya because the Shivrei Luchos were Maisa Yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo. So that was a unique circumstance that happened once in the history of the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the physical item. So maybe that never loses its Kedusha, but there's nothing that can parallel the Shivrei Luchos. And Nadi Yehuda says, I don't think your dechia of your raya is such a good dechia, because the Gemara, right after it says that the Shivrei Luchos are in the Aron, says, oh, from there you see it. So there is something that parallels the Shivrei Luchos. Apparently you're allowed to compare things to the Shivrei Luchos. He says, but as far as your raya from the Shivrei Luchos, I don't think it's a raya anyway, because he says the Aron was made in order to house the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos. And for sure, when you build an Aron, if you build it with having in mind that you're going to house other things in it, you build it al-Tanai, then you're allowed to use it. If you build it al-Tanai, you're allowed to use it for other things. But if when you build the Aron, you never have a Havamina that you can use it for certain things, then you're not allowed to use it for those things, right? So if, let's say, you have a shul that builds an Aron and they just assume they can use it for Sifrei Torah, and then someone gets very into Safras and he decides he's going to write up all the Nevi'im so that they'll have klafim for the Nevi'im. So it's not so pashut that you're allowed to put those in an Aron if there was never a Tanai to begin with, unless you make a separate shelf where they're going to be put, where the Sifrei Torah were never meant to be put. So then you could have them in the Aron. So this is the Binyan Sion says, you know, it's a pella on the Nodi Yehuda that he forgot that it's a Mefurish HaHeter in the Sefer Chasidim that the Luchos Shivrei Luchos are Menachos be Aron. So he says, if you have the Sefer Chasidim says, and therefore if you have Sefer Torah that are Mekzasim Kruim and Mechukim, that you should put them in the Aron as well. So that's the Minig Yisrael. So the assumption is that it's the automatic Tanai, is that when you have Apostle Sefer Torah that they're kept in the Aron. Okay, once we're on the topic of Talmud Torah, so the Gemara is going to tell us three different teachings of Reish Lakish relating to Talmud Torah. Simon Bitel Sarach V'Shachach. So says the Gemara, Am Reish Lakish, Pa'amim Shebitul Shel Torah Zehu Yisuda. Sometimes being Mevata Limura Torah is in fact, you're going to get Schar as if you were Miyasi the Torah and Osek in the Torah the whole time that you were engaged in the Bitel Torah. For example, if you're Mevatel Torah for the sake of Hotzaas HaMeis and Achnasas Kala, that is the Yisuda Shel Torah. Rav Huttner explains in Pachad Yitzchak and Shavuos that the reason that you get schar as if you're Osek B'Torah, because the whole idea of Mevatel Talmud Torah L'Achnasas Kala, and we don't say that Osek Mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah, is because without the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the whole Gedra of the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is L'Lul Molam Naslasos. So you're never really fulfilling Talmud Torah if you're then going to ignore that which the Torah is supposed to lead to, and therefore you get schar on the Asiyas HaMitzvah as if you're Osek in Torah, because that's it's the raya that your Talmud Torah was genuine. That the Talmud Torah was, if you never get to that point of lasos, so then you never did the Talmud Torah, because the gedra of Mitzvah Talmud Torah is l'man on the last lasos. So by doing the lasos, that's showing that the Talmud Torah was real Talmud Torah. Tichsiv, the pasuk says about the Luchos Shnios, Asher Shibarta, in the parsha about the Luchos Shnios, it says that the Luchos Rishonim Asher Shibarta, so from the fact that that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't say it, Peloshon Kas, Amalo Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Yiyasha Kochacha Shibarta, right? That's the model that teaches us that sometimes what looks like a bittel of Torah is actually a kiyum of Torah. HaKodesh Baruch Hu was pleased with Moshe Rabbeinu's decision to break the Luchos. So even though he's Mevatel Talmud Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed that it was a good thing. So too, someone's Mevatel Torah for Kiyum HaMitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees that that's a good thing. Now, in Masechah Shabbos and Masechah Yevamos, Rashi writes that it's from the Lashon of, it's not from the fact that the phrase Asher Shibarta is not said negatively. It's about the fact that the word Asher is a Lashon of Ishur, like Yashukayach. It's a Lashon of approval. So the Ramban says, could not really be, the Ramban in Shabbos Pei Zayin says, Asher is Lashon of Ishur? What about every other time it says Asher in the Torah? Is that, are you going to have a drasha like that every time it says the word Asher? So very hard to understand. So the Ramban says that the Shivri Luchos were Menachem Biaron if there was an Avera done in the breaking of them, then we would never allow them in the Aron, because Ein Kategar Nasa Sanegar. So it's not about the Ishur, it's about the practicality of where they ended up is a Raya that Hashem was happy with it. Alternatively, the Ramban writes, the very fact that Hashem praised the Shviras HaLuchos is derived from Ulekola Yara Chazaka Asher Asa Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael at the very end of the Torah. But it's not really about the word Asher meaning Ishur. In the Chiddush HaRan, he says, no, it is from Asher, but we only darshan the word Asher over here, because over here it's extra. Normally it's not extra, and it's therefore not available for a drasha. The Torah Tamim just points out that this Memra is against the previous limud, because we already learned from the Asher Shibarta that the Shivri Luchos are Menachem Ba'aron, because Asher Shibarta was extra. So you can't learn two drashas from the same pasuk. But if you hold that it's not from the Yisur Halashon, that it's just from the Asher Lashon Ishur, then the two drashas are not mutually exclusive. Okay, second teaching of Reish Lakish. V'yam Reish Lakish. Talmud Chacham Shesarach in Mevaznoso. If a Talmud Chacham was Nichshal in Aveira, in Mevaznoso Befarhesia. You don't put him in Cherim publicly. You tell him, Betzina, listen, go home. You're not allowed to be in public right now because there's a private Nidui. That's me, but not a public Nidui. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'chashalta Ayom V'chashal Gam Navi Imcha Laila. So the Pshut Shel Mikra is that you and the Navi Sheker were Nichshal when he was Menave to go be Tzumah Shel Yom, as if you were Nichshal B'cheshchas HaLaila, in the darkness of night. So Reish Lakish Darshan is a Pasuk not about a Navi Sheker, but about a Navi MS, that if he was Nichshal in an Aveira, so Kasehu Kalaila, you should cover it like the night. You should it should not be something that's made a public spectacle. V'yam Reish Lakish, and a third thing that Reish Lakish taught, Kol Mashkeach Dover Echad Mitalmudo. If a person makes himself forget something from his learning because he doesn't review and he's lazy about it, over Belav, he's in violation of a Lo Sasei. Shenemar, the Pasuk tells us in the requirement to remember the Torah, He Shomer L'cha Shmar Nafshcha Ma'od Pen Tishkach Ches HaDvarim. Pasuk Ozan Asher Ro'en Echa Pen Yisurim L'Vavcha Kol Yimecha Yechul L'Vodatim L'Vnechul L'Vnei V'Necha, that you're not supposed to forget. So Rashi says that's talking about the Isser of forgetting the Torah, and that's what Targum Yonason says as well. Asher Ro'en Echa means that at Har Sinai they saw the Divrei Torah being given Mipia Gevura Kol Am Ro'em Esakolos, and therefore it's Pshuta Shel Mikra. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is do not forget that which you saw, which means the Divrei Torah themselves. The Ramban al Torah says no. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is do not forget Maimed Har Sinai, the event of Maimed Har Sinai, but not the actual Divrei Torah, themselves. Now Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in Keser Rosh that this is only Bia Mehem, where they learned all of Torah Shebal Peh without Svarim. But Bizman Azeh, it's not a violation of the law, because we always have access to that knowledge by checking in Svarim. So it's a little comforting to have such a Shtukul Torah. Ukit Rabbi Yavin Amar Rabbi Loi, like Rabbi Yavin Amar Rabbi Loi taught, Amar Rabbi Yavin Amar Rabbi Loi, Kol Mokom Shnemer Yishomer Pen V'al, Einu El Lo Saseh, that the words Yishomer Pen Aral are always a Lo Saseh. Ravina Amar Yishomer Pen Shnei Lavin Inu, Yishomer and Pen are two separate Lavin, and therefore it's two Lavin to forget your learning. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, B'shlosh Lavin, it's a violation of three Lavin, Shnemer, Yishomer L'cho Shmor Nafshkom Ma'od Pen Tishkach Es Advarim. So you have Yishomer, Ushmor, and Pen. So you see three different Yisurim. So Yachal, one might think, Afilu Machmas Onso, that even if a person became ill or old or whatever, and he's not able to, or he's got to work very hard and he's not able to remember his learning, Tamalomer Pen Yasuru Milavavcha, B'mesiru Milibokas Medaber. That's if a person negligently causes himself to forget the learning. Rabbi Distoy, Rabbi Ani, Amar Yachal, Afilu Tukfal of Mishnaso, you might think that even if he just has a really hard time learning, he doesn't understand things properly, and if you don't understand, it's almost impossible to remember. So Tamalomer Rak. That's why it says Rak, Yishamilcha, Rak is a miut. That if the reason that you're not remembering your learning is because you don't have the head to really fully grasp the learning, so that's not your fault. A person just has to do their best. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Darmi Tarvayu. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Rosser both say, Torah nitnu barabatim. The Torah was given in 40 days, neshama notzra barabatim. And the Yetziras Havlad takes 40 days, and neshama is created in 40 days. Kolam Hashamar Torah, so if someone is Shomer his Torah, in the sense that he's always reviewing and he's trying to remember it, nishmaso mishtameres, then he's protecting, then his neshama is going to be protected. V'kol sheinu mishamaras haTorah, but if a person does not try to protect his Torah learning, a nishmaso mishtameres, then his neshama will not be protected. Tan de Rabbi Shmuel, mashal la'adam shemasar tzipor dror la'avdo, it's like a person who gives a tzipor dror, a certain type of bird, to his eved to watch over. Amar kumduma atashematam abdashen yinotamimcha isra b'demeha. You might think that if you lose it, I'm just going to charge you the cost of the bird. Nishmascha yinotamimcha, I'm going to kill you if you lose it. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. I'm going to take your neshama if you lose this matana of Torah. Okay, new Mishnah now about the sidur of the lechem apanim. Shnei shulchanos hayu bu'ulam yibifnim. There were two shulchanos on the inside the ulam, el pasach habayis, right next to the pesach of the heichal, echad shel shayish vechad shel zav. One made out of marble and one made out of gold. The marble was marble and silver. Al shel shayish nosam lechem apanim b'knisaso. The marble one is where they put the lechem apanim on the way into the heichal. Al shel zav b'yitziyaso. And the gold one is where they put the lechem apanim on the way out of the heichal until they were makter the bezicha levona and they were able to eat the lechem apanim. Shemalim b'kol shalom ridin. Right, we already saw this in Amud Aleph. Echad shel zav ve'echad shel zav mi'bifnim. And then you have the shulchan of Moshe that was actually in the heichal. Sha'alav lechem apanim tamid, where the lechem apanim had to always remain. V'arba kohanim nichnasim shnayim b'yadim shnei sedarim. You had four kohanim that would enter, two of them with two sedarim of lechem apanim, u'shnayim b'yadim shnei bezichin, and two of them carrying the bezichin levona. V'arba makdim lefneim, and four kohanim would go before them, shnayim litol shnei sedarim, two to remove the two sedarim of lechem apanim that were there the whole week, u'shnayim litol shnei bezichin, and two others to take the shnei bezichin levona. Hamachnisim momdim tzafon u'pneim ledarim. The ones who were bringing in this week's lechem, they were omed b'tzafon, but they were facing toward the south, and the machnisim were more chashuv because they were mesadel lechem, and therefore they were omed b'tzafon because the kedusha tzafon is greater than the kedusha of the darum. V'amotzin omdim darum pneim l'tzafon, and the motzin were facing them in the other direction. Elu moshkin ve'elu manichin, as the motzin were pulling off last week's lechem, the machnisim were pushing on this week's lechem. Tivcho shalzeh connected tivcho shalzeh. The surface of last week's lechem was right up against the surface of this week's lechem. They were tefach high, so that's why it's called tivcho shalzeh. Shenemar l'fanai tamid, because the pasuk says l'fanai tamid, the shulchan can never be bare, so that's why they had to push them on as they were coming off. Rabbi Yossi Omer afilu elenotim ve'lemanichin afiyoyse tamid. Tamid doesn't mean mamish every second. They took off that same day that they put on the new ones. That's also called Tamid. They then went out and they put the old lechem on the shulchan azav that was in the ulam, and they were makter the bezichin v'achalas meschalkos the kohanim, and then they would distribute the lechem to the kohanim. When chal yom kippur liyos b'shabbos, if Shabbos happened to have been yom kippur, hachalas meschalkos the erev, then they did the distribution that evening. They obviously couldn't do it on yom kippur. Chal liyos perev Shabbos, if yom kippur fell out on erev Shabbos, seir shel yom kippurim, the Sierra Chatos of Yom Kippur, which is only allowed to be eaten for Yom Velayla, so Necha Le'erev gets eaten on Lel Shabbos, which is Motzai Yom Kippur, even though you're not allowed to cook at that point, because it's Shabbos. V'abavliyim ochlin also. So they would dafka give it to Kohanim, who came from Alexandria Shabbat Mitzrayim, Kishu Chai, because they could eat it while it was raw, Mipresha Daitan Yafa, because they didn't mind eating raw meat. So you would find those Kohanim who were good with raw meat, and they would be the ones to eat it. So Tanya, once we're talking about the definition of the word Tamid, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, afilu silika seyishon ha-shachros, sidra ha-kadosha arvis, the Mishnah had said that according to Rabbi Yossi, even if you take off the old lechem in the morning and you replace it with the new lechem in the evening, ein b'kachlum, that's fine. Elamani mekayim lefanai tamid, shayel shulchan below lechem. Lefanai tamid just means that the shulchan should not go overnight without lechem. So I'm Rabbi Yamin with Ravish Rabbi Yossi, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi defines tamid as just not going overnight without lechem, but it doesn't mean mamish all the time. Nilmot, so we see from there, afil lo shana adam el perkecha shakos perkecha arvis, ki emisos layom shifra tora zemipicha, that a person that can fulfill the pasuk of Leim Sefer Torah Zemipicha v'agisabo yomam v'layla just by learning a little bit in the morning and a little bit in the evening, that a person doesn't need to be learning constantly. Amar Rabbi Yoch Even more than that, even if you just do Kriya Shema Shachris Arvis, you're in fulfillment of Lo Yamish. One should not say that in front of an Amma Aretz, because then they're not going to have any aspirations in Talmud Torah. No, let them know. Let the Amma Aretz know about that, because at the end of the pasuk is Kiyos Tatsliach Estrachech of Oz Taskil. If they're going to realize that just with Kriya Shema Shachris Arvis, it has such a payoff, they're going to say, make a Kal V'chomer, that for sure to learn even more and to have greater aspirations in Talmud Torah. Shal ben Dama ben Achos Shrabi Shmuel, Shrabi Shmuel, Kigon Ani Shal Madi Kol HaTorah Kula, Ma Lumel Chachmas Yivanus. He said, I have a photographic memory. I already got Kol HaTorah Kula down. So now can I learn Chachmas Yivanus? Karol Av HaMikra Zeh, he said, Lo Yom Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha Va Gisa Bo Yom V'Layla. Tzeh B'dok Shah She'ena Lomen HaYom V'Lomen HaLayla. Go see a time that's neither day or night. Ulamod Ba Chachmas Yivanus. And that's when you can go learn Chachmas Yivanus. Upliga Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. But that's against what Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said. The pasuk is not a chov, it's not a mitzvah, it's a bracha. Hashem saw how much Yeshua loved Torah. Torah is so beloved to you. To be able to learn in Kailal your whole life, you should never have to worry about anything else. But it was a bracha, it wasn't a mitzvah. Okay, Bezrah, we'll have more about Talmud Torah tomorrow.